shit each other just to get something to eat. Not wrong.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Laser are mine. Lives are mine. All that they hold, mine. I do not know your God.
We are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness. It does not serve the world. It is about shrinking. We were all meant to shine. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear.
In one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
Just want you to know that I won't let you down.
Well, good evening, audience. It's Daniel Holdings, your host for The Cutting Edge, where we are splitting darkness from light tonight. We have a powerful show lined up for you with three powerful men of God that will not only inform you, but hopefully they will inspire you to walk above the day's events and the week's events, and those things that are coming upon the earth. But before I introduce those men to you, I'd like to bring on our producer and our sidekick for the evening, Dorothy Carruthers. Dorothy, are you there?
I am right here, Daniel. I am so excited about this show. I can't wait to hear what these guys have to say, what Father has given them to share.
I am equally excited, Dorothy, and It's been an interesting week, and, you know, one of the things, and you know me well enough to know that one of the things that I always like to do is to be relevant in those things that we are talking about. So we will get into some really crazy discussion about UFOs and what that all means to humanity and where we're going with all this, but hopefully we will do it in the light of the gospel, and hopefully within the context of those things that are coming upon the earth right now. So while we hope it is interesting, Dorothy, I also hope that we can impart something to the people today that will help them through these very difficult times to come. So our first guest that I want to introduce to you is the big brain amongst us out of Colorado, a name that many of you already know, the mighty man of God, Stan Dale. Stan, are you with us?
Yes, but I thought you were talking about someone else there. Thanks.
Stan, it's so good to have you with us. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about some of the things that we've experienced and seen of late. But before we get to that, the man with the big heart amongst us would be our own Augusto Perez. Augusto, are you there?
Yes, Daniel, so good to be with you and join these wonderful guests that are going to be on the program tonight. So I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well, brother. And then last, but by no means least, the man with the biggest teeth amongst us, our own Larry Taylor out of Oklahoma. Larry, are you there?
Yes, hello, Daniel. This is a special evening, and man, am I really ready to hear some of the things Stan Dale might decide to talk about, and Augusto and yourself also.
Well, thank you for joining us, Larry. It's always good to be on with you guys, and it is a treat having Stan with us. Stan, hopefully I didn't cause you to shiver a little bit thinking that we are depending on you for your big brain, but we really are, buddy. I mean, we really want to hear what you have to say.
No, no problem. Holly's sitting over here listening in, and she looked at me and says, oh, yeah, big brain, right.
Oh, Holly.
I got to speak to your lovely wife for the first time just before the show started. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, Stan and Holly run Stan's site, website. It's www.standale.com. There's a plethora of news on that site, as well as other things that Stan is posted, observed, and seen, and those who have followed Stan for any length of time know that he has his fingers in all kinds of things. So that's why we call him a big brain. But at any rate, Stan, you know, before we really get started here, how about if you do us a favor and tell a little bit, I just gave you a little intro, but tell the audience a little bit about who you are, what you do, that kind of thing.
Well, Daniel, I'm just an ordinary guy here in Colorado. I did have a history. I went to the Air Force Academy here in Colorado and did do some work with Dr. Teller's group down in Australia on advanced propulsion and flying saucers and anti-gravity and things of that nature, things that still aren't public knowledge. I do have a background in computing. I studied at IBM in 1964 to 66, I believe it was, and program in about seven languages, or did in those days. I don't anymore. So I'm a little bit technical savvy and a little bit of this and that. Kind of like to look at a lot of things technical, astronomy and geophysics, and have developed a method of forecasting earthquakes that's fairly accurate. Sometimes it's off because of the data I get, but that's about it. Just you know, a good believer and love the Lord, and I've written a couple books.
I love that. That's about it. That's all he does, guys. Augusta Larry, that's all Stan does. Why is he on here? I mean, he doesn't do anything. That's about it. In fact, you know, Stan, your earthquake prediction program that you use, it's am I right? It's like 98% accurate when the data's right?
Well, it's more like 90 at best and around 75, 80 on average. It depends on how you count what I've hit. Sometimes I pick places that they don't convert into an earthquake or a volcano. And so as a result, I'm not sure whether to include those into the stats, but if we do, yeah, pretty high, 90%.
Well, so that begs the question. I live in sunny Southern California. What are we looking at here in the near future?
Well, there is something developing, has been developing for several weeks on the coast there of California, all the way down mainly toward, toward Los Angeles. And there are storms over the area which have been confusing the data signals that I interpret. But there's something weird happening there. There's been oscillations or changes in the typical earthquake or geophysical signatures for earthquakes and large ones, and it comes and goes. So that's why I'm thinking it might be driven by storm temperatures rather than the other temperatures and voltages that I use to do the forecast. However, let's say that it's not been dull. I've been seeing a number of things in the Los Angeles region all the way up to into Oregon that have been earthquakes, and there have been smaller ones, you know, like fours and fives and stuff like that, but I'm keeping an eye out for the big one that people say it might be coming that way. I think at full moon we might see more, and so I'm certainly keeping an eye on it now as we approach the next one. You know, if you're still there, well, it's because you got to be there, I guess, and the Lord puts us where he needs us, so I wouldn't worry about the rest.
Well, that is true. Augusto, you know, the Word says that to be absent in body is present with the Lord. So we need not fear, do we, brother, those things that are coming upon the earth?
No, not really. We need to be prepared for it. We need to know what is going on so that this thing does not catch us by surprise. As I have been sharing recently, you know, there is a crisis coming upon us. I mean, everyone knows, or if they don't know it, they feel it. And when there is a crisis of this magnitude, the likes of which we have not ever had, I don't think, if the people are not prepared for this crisis, it's going to really affect them big time, especially if they don't know the Lord, because they will be left without protection. There will be no shield, you know, like the old Star Trek movie, the shields are down, Scotty. Well, if our shields are down, that means no protection. No protection from anything, from incoming asteroids, from nuclear missiles, or from whatever, earthquakes, tsunamis, no matter what. And so, but if you are in the Lord's care, which means if you are his child and you are walking with him and you're daily communing with him and, you know, and you have a covenant with him, which is, I believe that it's much more than just saying I believe in Jesus Christ and, you know, I was saved in such a day, blah, blah, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it takes much more than that. It takes a covenant relationship, which means that the Lord is responsible to fulfill his part of the covenant. For example, like Psalm 91 and many others, okay? And he is responsible for that part. But our part of the covenant is a has to do with keeping his commandments, you know, and keeping our relationship with him alive and walking in communion with him. This is our part of the covenant, you know, acknowledging him above all things as our Lord and Savior and as first in our lives. So if we keep our part of the covenant, he will keep his part. And we see this throughout the Bible. This is something that has been established throughout the Scriptures. If you do this, I will do that. You know, and this is the way it is. And I know a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, don't want to hear that. Because there is today what is called the easy believism, which is just believe, you know, and that's it. Everything's going to be all right. But it doesn't work that way. And this has been my struggle with for years, to try to warn the people and awaken them to the point and to the fact that they need to be right. First thing is they need to be right with the Lord. They need to make sure that they're saved. They need to be sure that they're in covenant relationship with Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And then secondly, they need to make sure that they're prepared for these times at hand so that when this thing that is about to happen, and we'll be talking about this tonight, okay? So I'm not going to get into it. I'm just giving you a little taste of it. Once these things come, people, if they're ready with the Lord and if they're prepared physically and mentally, this crisis, quote-unquote, will not catch them by surprise, and they will be able to go through it, and they will make it okay. I believe we will make it. If we got, you know, all our ducks in order and our relationship with God, and we have taken the steps to be prepared, which I know Stan Deyo and Holly Deyo have done a great job, especially Holly, of writing some material for that effect, and Stan. But, you know, this is what we are facing right now, and we'll get into the other stuff, you know, later.
Well, Larry, you know, I just talked to Stan about physical earthquakes, and Augusto was kind of talking about spiritual earthquakes. But, brother, you know, I called you the watchman with the big teeth because I know you, and I know how tenacious you can be. Do you sense that there is an earthquake or earthquakes coming to the news that is around us, or the news that people are seeing developing these days?
That's a tough question. I think really there's an incredible earthquake coming in the paradigm of our thinking, the way we think, the way we gather our news and the sources we've used for years, and all of this seems to be in a flux of change. You know, I'm a great admirer of Holly Deyo. I mean, I am, because I simulate a little bit of what she does, I mean, hours in a daytime to post. And sometimes I feel like I'm running a race, and I'm a one-legged man. You know, that's really hard without an extra device on you. But, you know, and the thing is, if you're out of balance a little bit, you seem to run in circles because that's the way your strongest side pulls that direction. But Holly seems to stay in the center pretty well, you know. And I was thinking as you was talking about, two daredevils on the show tonight. You know, Augusto, he's the daredevil in Florida. And you got Daniel Holdings, the daredevil on the West Coast, you know, in California. And Stan and I seem to be kind of riding out this thing in the middle of the country. Now, I don't know what that'll all produce, but there seems to be a shift lately. We're so overwhelmed with the massive amount of news, if you do gain news from all over the world, and within the U.S., that, you know, I don't know how Holly can do it, but she does it. Every single day, it almost takes me a full day. I need 48 hours in a day now to just post and do a blog. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So when you say, is there seem to be an earthquake coming? Yes, I believe there's an earthquake coming because somehow we're going to all be shaken and startled at a paradigm shift of the way we have done things for so many years, and maybe one day soon we cannot use or utilize that direction at all. I mean, there you go.
Well, I think that's very well said. Which leads us to the point of tonight's broadcast. One of the things that was the impetus for this show, Larry, was that picture that you took over the portal area, actually a little ways from the portal area, from your own backyard on the top of your mountain in Oklahoma. And audience, for those of you that don't know, he sent that to Stan. That instantly caught Stan's attention, caught Augusto's attention, and that was the kind of genesis of the show, where we need to come on and begin to talk about those things that we are seeing in the sky, because Yeshua told us to look to the sky, told us to pay attention to the signs, and there are signs all over, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But specifically, Larry, while I have you, tell us a little bit, because audience, for those of you who haven't seen it yet, I have posted this picture on my website that Larry sent to me. It's the very first post on my site. The site is www.danielholdings.com. And Larry sent me this picture, so if you can, click over there and take a look at the picture so you know exactly what I'm talking about. But Larry, can you give us a little background of that picture so we can jump into the rest of this discussion?
Okay, let me widen the scope just a moment here, just a little bit, and then, you know, Stan can come from any direction he wants to. I recently had a radio show, really, really unique and unusual, and Stan knows Richard Shaw, Watchers producer out of California. I had a show with Richard, and we basically talked mainly entities, UFOs, I mean, some really weird stuff, but you know, over the years in the area I'm in, I have seen some bizarre things. And I've sent a little bit to Stan, a little to Augusto, a little bit to you, so you guys know what I'm talking about. I've taken photographs, and when I enlarged them a little bit, they were the most incredible-looking things. I mean, they didn't look like a right-up-front spaceship, you know, or what you would call a spaceship exactly, or a flying saucer. Or I mean, some of these things look so bizarre. And one of the things that Richard shared with me that's coming out in Watcher 7 is some of the data, and I've viewed a little bit of it, but I can't talk about it. Watcher 7's not out yet. So I'll just say that some of the things that I saw and that will be in Watcher 7 apparently will be some things unique to the same signature, I'll use one of Stan's words there, in the sky of objects that we've seen that are really, really bizarre, that people would just almost throw off as a glitch, a smudge on a lens. I mean, some weird stuff. But then going back to answer your question, since I broadened made the circle a little wider around what we're talking about, I live in an area where there's active portals. I mean, I have no idea how old these are. They're ancient, for one thing. I know that. One of the sites at Huebner is ancient to begin with. But then again, all over the world, we've got ancient locations, and Augusto is well aware of locations around the world where there are portals. And, we're seeing unique things like the, I just call it that pop volcano in Mexico City, and the things that go in and out of that. But, you know, I sit in an area where I see some really weird stuff, and that's the only way you can explain it to any, you know, to people that haven't seen it. You don't have an explanation particularly, but it's weird. I'll just underline weird and leave it at that. And I'm not telling anybody to believe anything I've seen, but Stan somehow sometimes has unique ideas of maybe some of the things that we're picking up in our atmosphere, or maybe even out in space from this planet, if we stood on the surface and took a photograph.
You know, Larry, I looked at your photo of that object, and there were just a number of things that I needed more information on, you know, like the lens size, the camera, and, you know, the extension, you know, the zoom getting better pictures. But one of the things that puzzles me is that should be something like what's called a Newton ring distortion, which comes on the extreme end of telephoto lenses, especially smaller lenses.
Huh.
However, having said that, the same kind of picture was taken by the astronauts in space down the Tether project, down the wire looking at the Earth, and they couldn't explain it, and they should know if it was a Newton's ring or not, and these are almost identical type thing. So I don't know what this is, I have to confess.
And to that end, Stan, Augusto, I think it was you who sent me a series of photos by someone who actually took the same type of picture. Is that right?
Yes. I have been seeing this object in the sky that Larry talks about off and on. Of course, the government tries to do a pretty good job of keeping it covered with their chemtrails and so forth, which is uncanny. I mean, how accurate they are just to cover that area where this thing is. But I have been very, very puzzled and very concerned about this, because it's not just coming from Larry and me and other people. It's coming from all over the world. Someone sent me today, I think it was Steve Quayle, I'm not sure, I think it was Steve. He sent me today a report from from Puerto Rico that they had a situation there in Fort Buchanan, and it was basically that they lost power, blackout. And I have been hearing about this and watching these things happen in many different places. Of course, you know about what's going on in Puerto Rico, right? They have been seeing this bluish light in the horizon now for a long while, and the government doesn't know what it is, and the people are very concerned about it. And of course, you know, I have talked about the preparations there with the FEMA body bags and the FEMA coffins, which is no longer a rumor; it's a confirmed fact. I have listened to the TV network there in Spanish, Telemundo, with my own ears and watching with my own eyes that they are in fact recording this event, you know, as these coffins and these body bags are coming into the island of Puerto Rico, and they're just docking in the harbor there, and they're just transporting all these things and military vehicles and military personnel. So something is going on. FEMA is there, and as well as some NASA scientists. So you know, these things are very, very, very intriguing, very, very crazy, very weird. There is other things that I have found out too, that people have sent me, because people send me, I'm sure it happens to Stan and Larry and yourself, from things, articles from all over the world, and someone sent me something not too far back about Puerto Rico as well, that they're preparing for an extraterrestrial event. Maybe Stan can share about that in just a moment, but they have also been preparing for a near-Earth collision, earthquake and tidal waves that may accompany these events. Now, there is a radio host, okay, I'm not going to mention his name, but I have it here, who has been reporting to his audience that there has been increased military activity and UFO activity in Puerto Rico. He talks about what appears to be a large blue object in the sky causing blackouts near the Bacardi distillery. There are also reports... Bacardi distillery. That's Bacardi is like an alcohol distillery. There, it's a brand
Bacardi.
Name. Bacardi.
Bacardi.
Yeah, Bacardi. You call it Bacardi. I call it Bacardi. So anyway, there are many reports.
That would be Bacardi. That's absolutely right.
Now, this is happening near Ponce, okay? Near Ponce, a lot of this hyper type of activity and military activity, armored vehicles being escorted by police to Camp Santiago in Salinas in Puerto Rico. Now, these things have been documented. They are factual. And so I just got this email today, like I said before, from Fort Buchanan, blackout. So I wonder, Stan, I don't know if you have received any or similar reports about this type of blackouts, which may be triggered by some of these quote-unquote unknown craft or unknown phenomena in disguise in different parts of the world. This is what I have been seeing, and this may be what Larry has been, I don't know, I'm just saying, that there have been strange phenomena in the heavens in recent days.
You know, Augusto, Larry's photograph, in fact, Larry, let me ask you a question here quick. That bright object that you photographed and put up on Daniel's site there, was it moving at all?
There were times that it did, that it actually, you could literally stand there, and it would move just a little or shift, and then and sometimes it would lower and then go back up a little higher. And you know, it's really, really bizarre.
All right. Now, I did quite a bit of analysis on that circle thing that you photographed, and it's not. I'm leaning toward the astronaut's point of view that it was not Newton rings, because the light density around that circle, both the outer circle and the inner circle, is not uniform. In fact, it's rather lopsided to the right side and down toward the bottom, which would indicate to me that whatever was making that light was producing a field of light that was not uniform, or that was side on to you a bit. Now, I've looked and read, you know, a number of documents in the old days in Sumerian and Hebrew history and things, where they talk about the angels, you know, God and the angels coming down to the earth in various forms, like Ezekiel's chariot and other things, where God was bright and luminous and cloud-like, and came to the earth from the air. That's why they built the Tower of Babel. Nimrod did, to try to build up to the heavens to become as one of them, to reach into the heavens. He wasn't going to climb into the heavens, per se, but he was going to make a tower that would give him a portal. Now, portals, as far as I can estimate, not having ever seen one, you know, that I can verify, portals would be circular, coming from parallel universe into ours. And they would be brighter than the surrounding, you know, sky or atmosphere. So what I'm looking at there could very well be one of several things that have been reported around the planet, and they may be portals where, let's face it, where Satan and his minions are being cast to the earth in these days. Maybe God is opening these portals to throw them down here right now. That's kind of the way I'm leaning, and certainly there have been increasing numbers of bright lights, UFO sightings, blue lights, strange lighting in the sky over the last 3 months, and it's increasing. I think we're approaching that point where official disclosure has to be made.
Stan, I think this is the crux of this conversation tonight, because, audience, if we just talk about UFOs and strange things in the sky and paranormal, then we're we'll kind of bleed off into the New Age avenue. But I think that we are seeing history come to an end. We are seeing the beginnings of birth pains. We are seeing what will happen at the end of the age. And you know, many people. In fact, there's a question in the chat room. And it's a question about when's the rapture going to come, and what about 666 and that sort of thing. And I don't really want to get into that specifically tonight, audience. But for many of you, you know that I don't particularly believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I think we're going to have to see some things. We're going to have to walk through some things, and I think my watcher friends will agree with me. That said, what I failed to do, a little bit of housekeeping here that I want to do right now before the break at the top of the hour, is I would defer that question to Augusto's website about the rapture in 666. So, Augusto, can you do me a favor and give out your website information, please?
Sure. Our website is theappearance.com, just like that, theappearance.com.
And if you think that the photograph that we're talking about now is crazy, you should see my crazy friend Larry's website, because there's some stuff that he has put up there, stuff that I've seen, pictures that I've seen, that have startled me. snakes flying from the sky and stuff like that, UFOs that don't look like regular UFOs. So to that end, Larry, can you do me a favor and give out your website information?
Oh, it's very easy. Most of them can just go to my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's Larry W, the initial, Taylor.org. Very simple. And, you know, go from the blog, and then some others, you know, go to my Yahoo group. But it's become private since the area of scoffers and mockers has increased.
So we're all familiar with scoffers and mockers. And, Stan, I already gave out your website information, but if you could do it again for me, I'd appreciate it.
It's just standeo.com, StanDeyo.com.
And StanDeyo.com, and I, you know, her name's not on the monarchy or the headline there, but I want to tell you that much of that work of posting that news, as Larry mentioned, is Holly Dale's work. She does a wonderful book, and audience, if you haven't gotten this book, you need to get it. Go to Stan's site and get it now. It's Dare to Prepare, written by Holly Dale. It's an awesome book, and no more appropriate for the days that we live in than right now. So with that said, Stan, you know, when we look at the things that we see in the sky, and you mentioned something very, very important. You mentioned that these UFOs may not be aliens. They may be fallen angels. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Sure. I did do a fairly detailed treatment of the Hebrew things in Daniel, which talk about them being imposters, posing as gods, little g gods, and this sort of thing. And they are satanic beings, in my opinion, based on the scripture in Daniel. I did do a treatment of that in the last edition, the 2010 edition of the Cosmic Conspiracy. But in brief, what I have found is that Jesus favored Daniel as a prophet that he ordained more than the prophets that were ordained by the Sanhedrin or whatever in the traditional Jewish temple. Now, Daniel's prophecies do tell us that the Antichrist of this age will be supported by Satan. And the Antichrist of this age, which will be a human under satanic control, he will put himself above the God of gods, the Son of God, and all other gods. But he will not reverence any of them. In other words, even he won't honor anybody except a God of forces, which is Satan's way of doing things by force. So I do believe what is about to happen is that we're going to see world conditions come to a fever pitch, to a crescendo, where the Middle East will erupt into full-scale war, threatening World War III, a nuclear World War III, which would be devastating the entire planet. And also, we're seeing an economic crisis approaching us rapidly before the end of the year, where the U.S. dollar may fall, and hence the world economy may go into chaos and free fall. We're seeing emerging diseases starting to sprinkle out, you know, across the planet and threaten to become pandemics. These things, with food supplies being dried up or flooded out, frozen to death, and you know, like 75,000 cattle are frozen to death the other day in Wyoming, all these things will be coming to a fever pitch around the planet. And people will say that we can't work, we've got no money, we're fixing to have World War III, it's going to definitely wipe us out or make us suffer a lot before we die. Will someone help us? They're going to cry out for this. This is the people, not the governments, because the governments are just totally in the business for themselves. They're just not an honest government on the planet anywhere. They will be replaced by what comes in the New World Order under the Antichrist. And people will cheer this in the beginning. They don't know better. They will say, we've gotten rid of the Illuminati. We've gotten rid of these corrupt politicians. Wow. But this kind of behavior was forecast in the Protocols of Zion. And this was originally written, we think, in Germany, but passed on to the Russians, the Russians paid for it, to discredit the Jews. And I must tell you, there are two categories of people that the world knows as Jews. There are those who are Hebrews, who are Orthodox, and there are those who are Zionists, who wanted to force Israel into existence and wanted to force various world entities to join them in making this global peace. Now, those Zionists, I prefer to call them Zionists and not Jews, because they're a mixture of all kinds of religions. But they are going to precipitate this to put their man in power, and they're going to do it by bringing in Satan's fallen ones with him, with their super technology, their flying saucers and anti-gravity and new medicine, whatever. To the people, they will offer this, not to the heads of government, because they are expendable. If you even look at our government with the people who are in the Senate and the House of Representatives, how many of them have criminal records or just no-hopers that took that job because they couldn't get any other job? This tells you that people are right to be dissatisfied with our governments, and, you know, the people in them. Now, the plan was, back in the early 50s, with Dr. Teller's group, was to fake an alien invasion to coerce the world nations into a peaceful one-world government. But rapidly, when Satan made his minions appear and meet with our people at Holloman Air Force Base, little gray critters and tall gray critters, which are mainly biological robots or androids, when they met with our people, and we joined with them to make advanced technologies to get them from them, to fool the nations, peoples of the earth, into accepting a one-world government, overriding their cultures, overriding their religions, etc. When we joined with those people, those beings that were created by Satan, we made a big mistake, because our original plan to fool people of Earth into accepting a one-world order with advanced technology hanging out there in space and appearing to be from off-world and neutral and all that kind of stuff, because that thing was our original plan, we abandoned that to go with the real, quote-unquote, aliens that were supplied by Satan. And eventually, in the late 70s, our underground research bases where we've been developing the technology that they gave to us and where they had been developing their own infrastructure and technologies unbeknownst to us, they threw us out of our bases. As far as I know, all of our classified bases that we shared with them are either taken over by them or destroyed. And this means that what is going to come is a group of people led by a being posing as a messenger of light, illumination, luminous, and people will buy it because the alternative is so horrible to consider, the nuclear war and the economic collapse, et cetera, et cetera. There are going to be other things in the weather, too, that people are going to be panicking about, and then meteor impacts and stuff like that. But Satan and his man here on the planet will be able to assure people that he can defend them from. So that's where I see us heading, and I see us heading that way extremely rapidly, and I'm just holding my breath waiting for the moment that they're going to make the announcement.
Well, Stan, that's all a mouthful, and audience, for those of you that don't know Stan's background, he's not talking just off the top of his head. Stan Dale, in another life, meaning his previous career, has been neck deep into secret, government agencies and work. So he's not talking off the top of his head. He's not talking because he read something. He's talking because he knows. He's been there. He's seen more than all four of us could combine. So you'll have to take what he says with a grain of salt and do your own research on him from his website. But he's not being flippant. This is not some crazy guy that's just on the radio. If you just heard Stan for the first time, this is a guy that has been in the know, to use that phrase. So you need to understand that when he talks about the next shoe to drop, when he talks about holding his breath to see what's next, we need to pay attention. Because here's a man that saw it when it began to form way back when. So with that said, Larry, I remember you talking about a book. It was a fictional book that you read, I believe, from the 40s or the 50s or maybe even. And it talked about these beings that came down and they wouldn't disclose themselves until the right time, and at that time happened to be when the world was so dependent on them, and they would accept them for who they are. Do you remember that book?
I can't place it at the moment, the one you're talking about. Can you give me a better hint?
Well, they were red. When they came out of the spaceship, they were red. Does that ring a bell?
No, the book you're referring to, I just, it's not ringing a bell. You'll have to give me more of a hint.
That's about all I got, buddy.
Awkward.
Yeah, it is awkward, but the point.
Yeah, but truthful. Very truthful.
Well, and it is. You know, we have talked, Larry and Augusto, about how entertainment kind of telescopes those things that are coming in the form of entertainment. So, Larry, when you hear Stan talk about the things that he's just talked about, the pending disclosure, and Augusto, when you hear about all these things that have been worked on in the background, I know that you've had several visions along these lines, even without talking to Stan. So, Larry, to you first, what do you think is the next thing? Stan kind of painted a broad brush, but what do you think is the next thing to happen, Larry?
Well, very, very closely. You know, I watch these same situations. You know, I'm one of those, I'm a little bit weird, but I glean movies. I watch DVDs. You know, I guess people say I'm not as spiritual maybe as I ought to be. However, in a lot of the movies that have come out over a number of years, and especially the last 2 or 3 years, you know, including many, many books, and, of course, a lot of writers, and I don't have to tell you this, Daniel, but a lot of writers or authors that have real-time truthful data embedded in their books, and they know it's the truth, still put fiction across the book so that the general audience out there will go ahead and pick it up. You know, they feel less threatened by, and Stan knows what I'm talking about probably. Now, Stan has written some incredible, hey, Stan, I still remember the days of West Texas Australian trading and such as that. I mean, hey, and the physical newsletter, I couldn't wait to get that, you know, but Stan wrote some, he's written some stuff that wasn't fiction at all. I mean, his books are basically what I would call documented evidence.
You know, Larry, I quoted, I think it was in the Cosmic Conspiracy, if not, it was in a number of my lectures, about a book that was a fictional work by Martin Caden. And Martin wrote something, it was a paperback, it was called The Mendeloff Conspiracy. And, you know, it's kind of rare to get it now. I think they have it now as maybe Encounter 3, I'm not sure. But anyway, The Mendeloff Conspiracy was first published in 1973. And thinly disguised, it is fact. It's named the Glenn L. Martin Corporation, Teller, the Learjet, what's his name? I can't remember Lear's first name, but anyway, was it William Lear? Anyway, all
John
these
Lear.
Guys had been working on anti-gravity and their corporations, and this was in the public record in the middle 50s because I was looking at some of the electronics developments. They published them in journals, and in high voltage or electrostatics, they were talking about this. Now, Martin Caden puts in that book, you know, fictitious names, but some of them are so close to the real thing, and then some real names are there showing that this was not really fiction that he was writing. He was writing a story around it, but to tell you, look, guys, look deeper into this. Look into these companies. Look into these people. We've got anti-gravity. We've got, you know, advanced technology. Even, what was it? There was a short story called Noise Level. And Noise Level, that story told how, fictionally, that in the mid-50s, the government encouraged a number of research engineers and physicists across the country into developing anti-gravity because they saw some young man had developed it and killed himself by accident when he was showing it to the government. It all melted into a package, and he was dead, and they couldn't get the secret, so would they please develop it? Again, fictional, but it was very close to what happened and how they removed the noise level from the engineer's mind and said, look, we can do this. How do we do it? So fiction veiled like that is really quite valuable, whether it be in film, video, or print.
Well, guys, I know the feeling. There's, you know, when I write a book, and for those that have read my book, I do extensive research on real things, and I weave a story around those factual things. And the reason why I started doing that is because the cacophony of information out there about
crazy things that are not in the mainstream media or in the, not in the mainstream paradigm, for somebody to just come upon the scene and hear some of these things, it would blow their mind. I remember there was a very good friend of mine, and I don't know if she's listening to the show, but my family and her family were at the beach together a few years ago, and I had woken up. For those of you that have heard my story, you know that I've been walking with the Lord for about 30 years, but I say that I only just woke up about 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And when I woke up, I needed to get out the stuff that I've learned. And the Lord gave me that first book that I wrote, 3 Days in the Belly of Beast. And Larry, helped me with this later. He sent it off and had a Torah code run. And go figure, it was in a Torah code. But I digress. This lady, this friend of ours that I was at the beach with, I started talking to her and her husband about UFOs. This is somebody that's known me for years. Her eyes glassed over. She looked at me like I was crazy, and she's a believer. And Augusto, she said to me, just like dumbfounded, she said, "Well, I don't believe in UFOs." Augusto, have you ever ran into somebody like this that just says, I don't believe in that stuff, because they don't want to believe it? What do you
sure? Think it's something that is kind of sci-fi for most people. Because it sounds like sci-fi, but this is really not science fiction at all, and it's in the Bible. It really is. And if I may share something here real quick, I want to tie this whole thing that is about to happen, okay, to the day of the Lord. I have been doing much study on that subject, and the conclusion I come to all the time is that all of these things, the UFOs being revealed upon the earth, the cataclysmic events about to happen, the asteroids falling, the comets, the destruction, the manifestation of these incredible warriors that that the Lord calls my army, actually in the book, in the Septuagint, if I may read there. There is a very interesting passage there in Isaiah chapter 13, and in verse 3, the Lord says, "I give command, and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath, rejoicing at the same time and insulting. A voice of many nations on the mountains, even like that of many nations, a voice of kings and nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts has given command to a warlike nation." Now listen to this, "to come from a land far off, from the outmost foundation of heaven." This doesn't sound like Chinese or Russians to me. This sounds like an army that is coming from a place in heaven, the foundation of heaven. And then he says, "the Lord and his warriors are coming to destroy the world." And, it's right there. You keep reading that chapter, "How for the day of the Lord is near." The prophet Isaiah ties this event to the day of the Lord. Okay? Now, before I continue there, let me share quickly the definition of the day of the Lord. Because a lot of people don't understand what the day of the Lord is. If you ask many people out there what the day of the Lord is, they have their own opinion. Or they do not understand. I have heard all kinds of opinions and ideas, the day of the Lord being hundreds of years to the day of the Lord being one single day. But there is no scriptural foundation for those views. If you read all the scriptures, and there's a million of them, the day of the Lord is a period of time. It's not one day. It's a period of time. But it is a period of time when all of these things are going to happen simultaneously. To my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet. It's fixing to happen. It may happen soon, but it has not happened yet. It is called the day of the Lord. It is the day of the Lord's wrath. There are over 66 scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament dealing with this topic. Sometimes it doesn't refer to it as the day of the Lord. Sometimes it refers to it as the day of God or the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, but it is all talking about the same day, a season of time, a period of time when the Lord is going to bring about incredible things upon this planet. And going back to that scripture I was reading, because this ties in to the book of Joel, in the book of Isaiah, and in even the book of Revelation. And maybe this is a good segue to where we need to go, because I believe that this subject about the UFO appearing and objects appearing in the sky, maybe the return of the Anunnaki, the fallen angels, portals appearing and opening, fireballs, asteroids falling upon the earth, which is kind of interesting because I was talking to Steve Quayle doing a show not long ago, and he believes, and I agree, that some of these asteroids or fireballs falling may be asteroids, but others may not be asteroids. They may be, in fact, fallen angelic activity upon the planet. I saw an interview that a brother sent me that he did in Mexico and Ensenada, and he, I mean, he did a great job. Alex, I think his name is Alex Backman, and he sent me this video, and he went to actually to the city of Ensenada and interviewed some of the people there, and they gave a testimony of what they had seen, and some of them, according to what I heard in this interview. And he was not saying anything. He was basically interviewing the people. The people were telling, sharing what they saw. The people said that they saw some of these, like flashes of lightning and fireballs, you know, lights descending upon the earth. And as they were descending, they changed shape. Some of the people said that it became triangular. Others said that it changed in color. And but they all said that as these things fell on the earth, they became entities, very strange-looking entities. Now, that ties in with this thing about the UFOs and maybe a quote-unquote alien invasion, which are not aliens. They're not little green men from Mars. I mean, I think we all agree on that tonight here. They are fallen angelic activity, that fallen angels. I mean, some people call them Nephilims, giants, Anunnaki, all kinds of these creatures that the Lord said that we're going to come back to planet Earth at a time called the Day of the Lord. They were going to come, I believe, according to Isaiah chapter 13, from the furthest part of heaven, okay? That tells me that they're coming to Earth from another place in the solar system, okay? According to the scripture, and it talks about a day of wrath, a day of anger, in verse 9, Isaiah 13, to make the world desolate, okay? To destroy sinners out of it. Notice it says sinners, okay? Again, if you are a righteous seed of the Lord, if you belong to Him and you have been sealed by Him with His blood and His spirit, again, you're not going to be, I believe you're going to be protected from these things, okay? Just like in the Exodus, God's people were protected, even as the destroyer was passing over them. It's called the Passover. So, and then in verse 10, he talks about, again, in Isaiah 13, the stars of heaven, and then he mentions Orion. And all the host of heaven shall not give their light. Why did Isaiah mention Orion specifically there, you see? That's very, very, very interesting. And then he says, and it shall be dark at sunrise, and the moon shall not give her light. And he says, and I will command evils for all the whole world, and I will visit their sins again on the ungodly. And I will destroy the pride of transgressors and bring low the pride of the haughty. And then after that is the scripture that a lot of people have heard, that they that are left shall be more precious than gold tried on the fire. Okay? Now, this thing that I shared with you, this scripture I shared with you, is from the book of Isaiah. Okay? And it's related to the day of the Lord. Now, if you do a search for the word or the phrase, the day of the Lord, you're going to see that it is all over the Bible, both Old and the New Testament. The day of the Lord is mentioned by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:10, where he says, the day of the Lord. Now, in that scripture there, when he mentions the day, is the Greek word hemera, okay? Which is if you look at what the definition is, it talks about maybe years. It says it could be years, it could be a period of time, several days, it could be a period of time, you know, any kind of period of time. So that is called hemera in the Greek. In the Hebrew, when you read about the day of the Lord, it's the same type of thing, except it's in Hebrew, is the word yom, Y-O-W-M. And again, it is a period of time of great trouble, okay? It could be days, it could be months, it could be years, okay? But it is a short period of time where hell, literally, is going to be unleashed on the earth. And part of that hell is going to be the unleashing of these entities that are coming to destroy the earth. And in the book of Joel, the Lord calls it my army. In the book of Isaiah 13, we just read, he calls it my army. And I find that very interesting, the way the wording is used there, because it's so clear, and he talks about the day of the Lord, and he talks about destruction from God, from the Lord. And so he's talking about a great multitude of these entities, and they're coming, rejoicing, and at the same time, insulting. And I want to tie that in, because I think this would be a good segue to enter into some of these things, because I think this is so important, because like you said, Daniel, majority of people, especially believers, have no idea what they're about to face in the very near future. When? I don't know. But it's getting very close now from the voluminous manifestations of these things. It's becoming now almost a daily occurrence. And so when these things begin to happen, okay, if people know about this, okay, if people have heard this, like this program tonight, from all of us that are in the program tonight on this roundtable, if people have heard this, when these things begin to manifest, they will know, they will remember and say, yeah, I heard that on this show, and you know, so on forth and so on, and they will know what they're dealing with. On the other hand, if people do, disregard and don't care about these things we're talking tonight, when these things begin to happen, they're going to be victims, just like the Lord said. They're going to be terrified, and they will not know what to do, how to react when this crisis comes. The best way to do it is, like I shared at the beginning of the program, is to be prepared. Be prepared spiritually with the Lord, okay, in covenant with Him, so that you know that the blood of the Lamb is applied to your the doorposts and the dintel of your heart, that you are sealed by Him. If you're sealed, the Revelation says, these things won't touch you. If you have His seal, they will not touch you, okay? They can see these things. They can seal the seal of God. Maybe men cannot see it, but demons and these entities, they can. They can see it. And they know they cannot touch you. They are forbidden from touching you by the Almighty. And so that's the first thing. Second thing is, knowledge is power. And many of these things that Stan is sharing tonight, and Larry, and Daniel, and myself, this thing is going to give you understanding, and that is power. When these things happen, you will know what to do. You will be prepared. You will know how to handle this. And the third is, you need to prepare yourself physically. Now is the time. Time is running short. I mean, we are almost at that point when there will be no more time. So I just thought I'd lay that little foundation, because I know Stan's got a lot of information on this subject, and I'm wanting to hear some of what he's got to say, and Larry and Daniel. So I turn it over to you guys.
Well, you know, Augusto, that
that there could be no better segue than that for the top of the hour break that we are quickly at. But I just wanted to let you know, audience, that the Lord, this is the thing. We have theologians throughout the centuries that have written about what these days would look like. And I have said for the longest time that it's not going to be exactly the way we think it is. Because the minute that we think we have it all figured out, that's when the Lord changes it up on us, because he's God and we're not. So the things that are coming upon the earth aren't exactly the way that we thought it was going to play out. And there are questions in the chat room, I'm sure, about the rapture and 666 and, you know, all this other stuff. We just need to leave an open mind that how we can relate to Scripture is not necessarily how we thought we could relate to Scripture. And Larry, after this break, what I want to do, I want to get your thoughts on something. You know, we have the, in Revelation, it talks about the blowing of the trumpets in Revelation. And there have been these sounds that have been going around the world, strange sounds. You know, I post them, you know, Stan's posted them, strange sounds. Could it be that those sounds are those trumpets that Revelation talked about? And what does that mean for us? Where are we in this period of time? So, Larry, when we get back from the break, I'd like you to pick up on that with your thoughts, and then we can launch into this greater discussion about Augusto. Primarily, I wanted to talk about what you saw on that infrared camera, and then, Stan, get your thoughts on that as well. I can't believe it, audience. We're already through with the first hour. We could be on the radio for 5 hours and not go over everything that we need to, but nonetheless, we're at the top of our break. So, guys, take 5 minutes, and Dorothy, if you can help us out with some music, we'll meet you back here in about 5 minutes' time.
Here you go.
that
and
was.
Gentlemen, we are back. Oh, I'm sorry, Daniel, didn't mean to step on you.
That's all right, Dorothy. Thank you. That was Yahweh by Carrie Joby or Hobie with the Desperation Band, a beautiful song. And, you know, one of the things about that song, guys, it reminds me who it is that we serve. Who is the God that we serve? That God, the Bible tells us, is a consuming fire. So it really doesn't matter what those things are. I mean, it matters, but we need not fear those things that are about to come upon the earth, because if you are walking, to Augusto's point from the beginning of the show, if you are walking in covenant relationship with the God of the universe, Yahweh, God, then you will be all right, regardless of what happens to the earth. Now, Larry, before we broke, I asked you about these sounds that have been generated all over the earth. And again, just 2 or 3 weeks ago, there's some more that I posted on my website, sounds from, I think it was the Ukraine or something, the same types of sounds that we have heard in other places of the world. What do you make of that? Do you think that could very well be the trumpets of Revelation?
Well, to answer that question in just a second, but I just want to make a remark that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were pretty much proof of what you just said a while ago about the all-consuming fire and being in the middle of it, and that's when you really do look forward to hoping there's a fourth man in there. However,
that's right.
Really interesting, selected question about the sounds, and I think Stan probably has more expertise in the ability to answer that than me, so let me bring forth a question. There's been reports, and we've heard weird sounds up here, over the area I'm at. Of course, I'm in the mountains, and sound, sometimes when you hear it, doesn't seem to come from the direction it really is, and you're not sure, and there's been times that we've thought maybe the sound has came from the, within the earth, like earthquake or magma movement or et cetera, but then there's sometimes that it seems like it's a further away sound, like it came through the atmosphere, maybe like... these flashes of light and things that we're seeing that are cosmic, they're hitting the planet. Maybe there's a sound directed out of that. But let me pose this question to Stan, and then maybe he and Holly probably have viewed most of the videos on those sounds. Stan, there's been times that I have taken pictures here. There was one instance where I went down to my dog pens, and I have to walk down to them and walk back up, and I was walking back up. It was dark. And there was it looked like a flash bulb went off in the area of what I call the portal. I mean, that's just my term for it. But it looked like a flash bulb. And I didn't have a camera, and I thought, oh, man, I wish I'd been prepared, but most time you're not. And I got back to the house, and I got my camera, and I went out there. And a few minutes later, I saw some movement in that area of the sky where the flash had been, which is what I call a portal-type area of the sky, and I took a photograph, and I think down in Augusto, I don't think I sent you a copy, Stan, but it was without a doubt, if you look close at what was taken, it's like there was a portal because it was almost square, and something was coming through from somewhere else into what appears to be our time space, through whatever this was, and this is in the sky. I mean, it's not like I'm making any of this up. It was literally there. I got it. Its own film, and Daniel has a copy of it, and it's bizarre. But this is the question I've got, Stan, because, they called you the brain, and I'm going to throw this at you. There's times that we're, so many times we hear about the thinning of the veil, and we know that veil is a barrier or a, whether it consists of frequency and color, visibility or whatever, one dimension to another, et cetera, the thinning of the veil we know is true. We've heard prophecies over the years about it. It's biblical. And I've wondered at times, some of the weird stuff I've taken photographs of, if maybe I wasn't literally taking a picture through a tear or the thinning of the veil, a location that was thinner than normal or a tear, and actually the object, almost like Stargate kind of stuff. If the object was literally was still in another dimension, but somehow it's so thin that I can get a photograph of it still on the other side, but not yet on this side in our time space. I know that sounds really freaky, but at the same time, I've talked to and interviewed so many people that have heard voices. They'll be outside in the countryside, you know, tending their cows or working their horses and stuff, and they hear voices, and they look in the area this is coming from, and it may go on for 5 minutes. They hear people talking and things. They see nobody, and it's almost like they're on the other side of something. They just can't see them. And, you know, Daniel, I don't want to get into paranormal stuff particularly, but, you know, this is really, really weird stuff. And how this ties into science, oh, my God, Stan, I can't believe I gave you a question like that. But here you go.
Well, a number of things. First of all, Jesus himself said to our Heavenly Father, he said, "Forgive them, for they are blind and cannot see." Now, he could see, Jesus could see demons in the parallel world, which is all around us, but that veil does separate us. Now, I, from my research of the way that God has appeared to man over the ages, the veil is thinning, and eventually, probably 1,000 years from now, the parallel universe to us will consume ours, and ours will disappear, and a new heavens and earth will appear, according to Scripture. Now, the veil, Larry, when you say you took a picture of something coming through, could you see it with the naked eye or only with the camera?
I saw movement in the sky, in the area where I had seen the flash, like 5 or 10 minutes prior to that moment, and I took a picture of where I had seen the movement. Now, I did not physically see it with my eye.
Okay.
Per se, I picked up a movement. You know how a lot of times you see things with a movement with your eye that you really don't perceive that much in your mind, and so the camera maybe would do something that my, you know, there again we're dealing with you know, visibility and light and different things.
Right. Well, this is why I ask. It's because when it's taken with the electronic things or with film, we need to carefully analyze these things to be sure they're not what are called artifacts that are generated by the digital process. And I've had that happen in my camera, too. But that doesn't mean that you didn't see a flash. I mean, that's a given. And you certainly may be in an area fairly remote and where people or where things might happen that not too many people will see it, or if they do, they're not going to speak about it. Far as what I think it was Daniel or Augusta were talking about the trumpets, the sound of the trumpets in Revelation. Is that what we're hearing with these moaning sounds? I've been able to track that back in a couple of cases that were reported to me, and one in Washington State near Alaska and one in Alaska, actually another one down in New Zealand. And they heard these trumpet sounds. A number of people heard them and recorded them, and we listened to them. These sounds are very similar, if not positively, the sounds that you would hear when a volcano was passing up magma up through its throat without erupting. It's volcano song, you know. This will bounce off the upper atmosphere of the sound and travel for hundreds of miles. So I think that what we're hearing is that. Now, whether these are the mechanism that God uses to produce trumpet sounds, I don't know. But I do know that these sounds have been heard a number of times by people in Hawaii and in Alaska and other places near volcanic fields.
Dan, I don't know if I like that answer or not, because I'm going to be candid with you. And I haven't said this to anybody. I haven't shared this with Larry or anybody else. But just last week, in the middle of the night, I was outside, and I, too, heard these sounds. I live in Southern California. If you are correct, and there is talk, I think, I don't know if it was on your website, but there's talk that there's a volcano in the dry lake bed not far from here. I don't think I like that answer. If you're right, I don't like that at all. So, hey guys,
well,
you know,
look, it doesn't mean they're erupting, Daniel. It doesn't mean they're erupting. It just means that the magma is moving up the throat of it. And However, usually eruptions do follow this, but whether it's from the volcano near you or whether it's from one down in Mexico in Popocatépetl or one along the Sierras or, you know, south of there. I mean, I don't know. It might be that you're hearing what's coming from up north in Washington or further away even. These things do reflect. However, when they talked about it in the Bible, the people talked about the song or the trumpet that does precede the volcano of the Burning Mountain, and the Burning Mountain is a volcano. Yeah, maybe a good reason to have concern. I don't know.
That's very interesting. That's very, and I'm not disagreeing with it. I just don't know that I like the answer, because if that's true and it's close, then just another reason to get out of Dodge. But before we go on any further, guys, I needed to do something here. We have several people in the chat room, and they are asking questions. And I don't want to take a lot of time with the questions, because we need the discussion. I feel led by the Holy Spirit that the discussion should go a different direction, but I want to make sure that we address them. So I'm going to pointedly ask each of you something about these questions, and if you could just give a short answer so that we can move forward, that would be good. Augusto, we haven't heard from you in a couple minutes, so this is a good question for you. Do you think that all the alien stuff that we are hearing is basis for another historical false flag, or in a distraction from the economy and such?
Well, some of it probably is, because that has been reported many times that this was going to be, in fact, used as a card. The alien card is referred to as the alien card that was going to be used in the last days as the final card. I think that the one that made that comment was none other than the rocket scientist Werner von Braun. And he mentioned many of the things that have already been used as, you know, as cards and false flags and things of that nature. But that aside, I also think that there is a very real threat of these entities. And simply the reason I say that is because it's in the Bible. And, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. If the Lord in the Bible says this is going to happen, that's it. I believe it. And so everybody has to bow down their knee to that. It's in the Bible. It's going to happen. The question is when. That's the only question. But the Bible talks about that there is, and like I just read, you know, before the top of the hour, there is going to be an invasion from basically Orion. Because that Septuagint, if you read that part in the Septuagint, the scripture I mentioned to you, if you read it in the King James, it's not there. If you read it in any of the other translations, it's not there. But if you read it in the Septuagint, Isaiah 13, it is very interesting that in verse 10 it says, "For the stars of heaven and Orion and all the host of heaven shall not give their light." Well, Orion happens to be the area where, quote-unquote, these you know, entities are supposed to be coming from. Now, I cannot prove that or disprove it, okay? I don't have the word about to prove anything like that. I don't know, maybe Stan wants to shed some light on that. But the fact that it is written in the scriptures, that gives me a lot of thought that the Lord, who knows everything, already has stated that something was going to be happening in Orion and coming from Orion, and he calls them basically the giants. He calls them my army, and that they're coming to destroy the earth. And the Bible talks about that also in the Book of Revelation, where it says a star shall fall from heaven. I think it's the fifth trumpet, if I'm not mistaken. And he says that star. Which, by the way, is in the original text is Aster, which means star, but also it's where we get our word asteroid from. When this asteroid falls from heaven to the earth, to it was going to be given the keys to the bottomless pit, and it was going to open the prison doors to many of these entities that have been imprisoned there, according to the Apostle Peter, in chains of darkness, awaiting that day, okay? What day? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to it's going to come like that, okay? First, the Lord is going to allow these entities to be released. Then they're going to come, apparently, from another part of the heavens. All of these entities are going to join, I guess, if you want to give it a name, in one last hooray, you know, the last hurrah for the kingdom of darkness against the King of Glory. And they have weapons that we have never seen. They have been busy building these weapons for a long, long time. And underground, you know, and so forth. And so the Lord showed me just one of those weapons. And it's posted on our website. And you can look it up. It's the vision of the Death Star. And I didn't even know what I was looking at. But I believe they have weapons like that and even others that are very devastating. They're preparing all these weapons for their ultimate war against the King of Glory. They know he's coming, and they're going to come, in force against him. So this thing is going to happen, okay? It is factual. It is in the Bible. And so many of these things may be playing into the elite's card, alien card, and they may have agendas and plans to bring this about, and all these other theories, you know, and that they have the holographic images in the heavens and all this. Yeah, all that is true, but that does not negate the fact that there are indeed entities that are going to be manifested in these end times, and they're going to be horrific and they're going to do great, great harm and great destruction upon this planet.
I think, you know, Augusto, I think that's a valid point because, yeah, I keep thinking back to the speech that Ronald Reagan made in front of the UN, and he was talking about, you know, the Earth's forces joining against an alien attack, and how we would all come together and sing Kumbaya. I suspect that, you know, this would play into that whole plan, but to your point, I mean, the fact is that God knew and saw that it was going to happen, and he warned us about it in his word. So regardless of whether or not it is a false flag in one respect, or maybe a false flag and the real thing as far as the Raphaim or the Anunnaki or the Nephilim coming back, it really doesn't matter. The point is that we need to be ready. So moving on to the next question, because I do want to get back to the heart of our discussion. Larry, you know, there's a question in here about how much longer, it just goes back to the you know, planning of the elite and the Illuminati. It says, how much longer before Israel attacks Iran, and when do you think that war would happen? I know that you keep your finger on the pulse of the Middle East. I know you constantly watch the news and your sources over there. So what are you thinking as far as the near future goes for this war, this attack in Iran or Syria? I have a question yet. What do you see as far as that goes? What's going on in the Middle East right now?
Well, I do know that Stan also keeps a pretty good pulse on the Middle East. He could probably answer it too. My immediate answer for somebody asking that is, how in the world would I know? I mean, however, I'll qualify that by saying the fact that so many times, you got to remember the Creator wrote the book, so to speak, through men. But however, at the same time, he's not a man, and we, you know, it's so easy for us to think that the architect of the book that we read and try to go by is a man, and try to figure out when things are going to happen as we would see that they happen, or men would tell us that they happen, and we've got all the books in the world already written explaining all this, except they're not quite accurate, it appears. I think that, well, I have a perfect answer for that. It's going to happen when it's time. It's kind of like Isaiah 17. It's exactly the right time, Isaiah 17, which means the pretty much destruction of Damascus, which could happen tomorrow. I mean, it could. But then again, it could put off another year. I mean, we just really don't know. That's why I really believe that's why so many times that we're told to pray and just be ready. I mean, just be ready. However, there's a lot of volatility in the Middle East right now. The U.S. and Russia and of course, Iran and others are really putting pressures in different places, and it wouldn't take And I'm serious about this, guys. It wouldn't take but one spark to set some of this off, and you'd have Isaiah 17 overnight. And then again, we've got to look at the situation with, you know, Iran and Israel, and I understand from Israel's point of view as a nation, and I understand from Iran's point of view as a nation, and pretty much they're on a collision course in time, and biblically also, it appears, and which one's going to pull the trigger first? I do not have that answer, but it's going to be a very big trigger, and I don't think it'll be constrained to the Middle East. And Stan, you can probably answer that pretty good. You keep a pulse on the Middle East, don't you, a lot?
Well, Larry, you know what I want to do? I'm sorry, Stan, to cut you off. What I want to do is just let that question lie because we need to go someplace else with this, and that was a question from the chat room that I was trying to address for them. And I think you summed it up. I mean, I don't know what else could be said other side from the fact that we just need to be ready. We don't know, but we need to be ready regardless. But to Stan, one of the questions in the chat room is about Comet Isis. There's a question directed to you, Stan, about swarms, earthquake swarms in California. I think you've already addressed that. But there's also a question in here about Comet Isis. It says, can you ask Stan why Isis is heading directly toward Earth now? And, you know, Stan, I don't know if you've seen this, but I posted it last week, and Larry or Augusto sent it to me again today. The Chinese radar that took a video of ice in there, two satellites revolving around ice, and they kind of look like cylinders. I don't really know what to make of that. It's pretty clear. But what are your thoughts on ice? And is it coming right for us? And then, Augusto, this is the perfect place, I think, after this question that we can jump back to you because I want to get back to what that infrared thing that you saw in the sky. Stan, is ice coming directly for us? Are we going to get brushed by ice? And when are we going to see it? What things are we in the natural going to see from ice? What do you think?
No, ice is not coming toward us. That video, I've watched it, I've analyzed it, and it's very cleverly done. It first appeared with the a little symbol in the lower right-hand corner of it saying this is a Chinese satellite data. Then they decided to spruce it up and embed that into a thing they had full Chinese around it and, you know, was from an official Chinese video, and they dubbed it across. That is taken by a satellite of a comet, but it's not necessarily a comet Isis. It's taken by a satellite that's in front of whatever comet it was looking at. If you look at it, it was a view from the front of the comet. So a lot of people went off crazy and said, it's heading our way. This is not true. It is heading toward the sun, and it will proceed there and make a near pass in, it swing around its perihelion in November and swing around and come back out the other side. So around January 1st to January 30th, somewhere in that period, we will enter the old debris trail, you know, the back end of where Isis was as it came into the near sun position, but it's not headed for Earth. There may be other pieces of stuff headed our way, but it's not Isis, and do not count that video as valid. Someone is playing with us there. It's not true. Go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, finish on this. I've got to add something that we were talking about later, but finish on this subject. Is there any other thing on that?
Well, I was just going to say, and that's why we have watchmen audience, to give us the straight skinny on things, because oftentimes we run across things on the Internet. Is it true? Is it not true? We need discernment with those things that we see. And we need to know what context to put it in, just because it's on the Internet. And it may even be right, it might even be true, but it may not be factual in the context that we're looking at, the things that we are watching. So Stan, we really appreciate that. But go ahead and say what you were going to say just a second, and I want to get back to Augusto with a question.
All right. Now, the other thing that Larry was mentioning, or Augusto, in fact, was that there would be a star, you know, fall to the Earth as part of the Revelation judgments, and that star would fall down to the Earth and would open up the doorway to the containment period, place of evil and of evil things, and let them loose on the Earth, you know, to torment men. Now, I agree with that. I think that certainly that there is going to be something fall down from the earth, and if it's an asteroid, like he said, well, that's fine. It'll be a message from God. You know, messenger is angel. We interpret the word angel. It's really messenger, a message. And that thing comes down, and if it hits the earth hard enough in the right place, I think it will punch a hole through the mantle of the earth down into the inside of the earth. And if you look at a bottomless pit, as they say in English, it is the inside of a sphere, part of it being hollow. And I am firmly convinced that we have layers or voids inside the earth, if not one, maybe a couple. And once you are kept, you are chained or locked in there, there's no way out until a hole opens on the planet to let you out of that area up to the surface. It's a thick mantle. So that is probably going to be an asteroid that impacts the earth, blows a hole straight down into that area, and opens up a gateway, or doorway, sorry, to let the beings that are being held there loose on the earth. I think things can live in that hostile environment just underneath the surface of the earth. Now, I can't explain all this easily with, you know, voice and not being able to wave my hands so you can see them and not being able to show you videos or animations, but I will do that in the near future in a paper that I'm writing on gravity and the nature of planets. So I do believe it will release things from inside the earth, the bottomless pit being there. Now, the other thing is, we were talking a while ago about, you know, the horn sounds or the trumpets. And if you look in Exodus 20:18, you'll see it says in the King James Version, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. Now, they're talking about the mountain that God was sitting on talking to Moses, and Moses comes down to give him the Ten Commandments, and this is just right in line with that. But if you look at the Hebrew of that, about this trumpet, it is not just the word trumpet. It is the ram's horn. And if you've ever heard a ram's horn, it's not like a brassy, like that. It's more like a lower, you know, like that. And that is what people say they hear when they stand around a volcano that's fixing to blow its top, especially if it's got kind of the lid is already very thin or come off and it's not exactly hit yet, but the magma's rushing up the throat of the volcano, which, you know, it's a throat, it's a hollow tube, and it will make like a more bass sound, like a ram's horn, like the shofar. If you've ever heard that blown, it's like a shofar sound. Anyway,
that is, you know, Dan, that's really interesting, because I have thought that myself, that the sounds that we were hearing were the sounds of a shofar, and that is exactly, Augusto, what they used to blow, right? From the wall, they would blow the shofar as a warning, isn't that right?
Yeah,
and I think Stan touched on something there very interesting, which is when when the children of Israel went to the Mount Sinai, as they were leaving Egypt, you know, that was part of their pilgrimage. They went through there, and they heard these sounds of trumpet, and I agree with what Stan's saying, but I think there may be something more to this than that, and I don't know what could cause it. Like, even if these things are volcanoes getting ready to erupt, or even magma rising, which I agree with that statement that Stan said. But what could be causing this thing? And that is the thing that I keep racking my brain. And the one thing I would like to point out quickly, though, is that during the Exodus, I truly believe that that was a time when this object, okay, whatever you want to call it, that makes its trek every 3,600 years or so, that really no one really knows exactly what it is, but it is a very large mass object that makes its way into our inner solar system. And whenever it does, whether you call it Hercules or Destroyer or Nibiru or Planet X or whatever, the Bible calls it Wormwood, Destroyer, the Lord calls it Destroyer, but whatever you want to call it, whenever this object makes its close approach to our inner solar system, these things begin to happen. And that, according to, from what I have learned and the things I've learned in research, this made its pass around Earth back in during the time of the Exodus. You know, and even the Lord mentions the destroyer will pass over you. And we see
Augusta, you're going to steal my thunder here. Larry, he's stealing my thunder here.
Well, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to explain it the best I can.
It is the Holy Spirit, because this is the question that I really wanted to get into with you. We have about 22 minutes left in the balance of the program. I can't believe it's when it's fast.
Well, let me wrap it up real quick, then I'll toss it over to Stan.
I don't want you to wrap it up because this is where we are going. So before you finish your thought, I want to preface this with the question, because I think the question for the balance of the show is really something that we can go into a broader discussion about. But you forwarded a picture to both Larry and I that was taken off of Google Earth or something like that, of an infrared image, and it looked like a winged planet. And I remember seeing that same picture just about the time I woke up, but it was in a different part of the sky. And the only way you could tell was you could only get it on infrared. So least people think that this is a bunch of hooey, and you know, we're just pulling stuff out of the air that, you know, there's not really anything called Planet X or Nibiru. There's not anything called the Destroyer. There is evidence out there that there is something in the sky that you can only see on infrared. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's where you want to go. And we have 20 minutes left, so it's going to take pretty much the rest of the time to go into this. So I just want to release you and go, you know, say what you're going to say. What are your thoughts on that, Augusto? What is that infrared thing that you saw in the sky, and does it relate to the Destroyer and Planet X?
Well, I think that question, probably Stan is better qualified to answer that specific question. And I did send Stan a copy of that email, and you know, with the coordinates of where that is. It's right off, right off Regulus. And it can only be seen with an infrared lens. And but I am no expert in this matters, so I just think it is very, very strange looking thing. And at any rate, going back to what I was sharing, I do believe that this object did pass, in fact, about 3,600 years ago, and that caused all the plagues that are mentioned in the Book of the Exodus, and they are repeated in the Book of Revelations. When all the stars begin to fall from heaven, which are asters, which are asteroids, and a third of the planet is burned, a third of the sea is destroyed, and so forth and so on, with the trumpet judgments. Now, this is not a parable. This thing are not figures of speech. These things are real. This is the way I read the Bible. I believe these things are going to happen, and it will cause the destruction of a large number of people on this planet. This is what is referred to as the Day of the Lord that I quoted in the beginning. And I do believe that the one dimension that I believe that is going to be much worse than ever before, with that is going to be the manifestation of these ungodly things. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that the last time this thing came by, these entities also appeared on the earth in the form of giants. Remember when they went into the Promised Land, the first thing that the children of Israel encountered were giants. Anak and all the raisers of giants, when they went there, the 12 spies, remember, to Jericho, they came back with a report that there were giants in the land that devoured, okay, the inhabitants thereof. That means they ate them for supper, because they consume large amounts of protein and meat, and so eventually they ran out of that, and they had to turn into cannibals. And they said, the spies said this, I mean, these things are huge. So they were using DNA back then. The grapes, that the clusters of grapes that they brought back were incredible size. So obviously there was some type of genetic manipulation even going back even then. And so what a coincidence that at the time when this object made its last pass, supposedly, because I wasn't there and I cannot prove it one way or the other. I don't think anyone can. So we're basically assuming things here, okay? We are basically just using facts found in the scripture and just building on that, and that's all any one of us can do. But if this, in fact, was the same object that is coming back, and all the trumpets and the vials, judgments, I speak about that, many of the same effects, the plagues and the hail falling from heaven the size of a grapefruit and basketball. I mean, darkness coming upon the face of the earth, all kinds of ungodly things happening, you know, asteroids falling and all these things. If this thing, and the water turning to the rivers and the lakes and the seas turning to red like blood, if these things are caused by the same object, I think it's very, very valid question to ask today. Is this object maybe making its approach? And maybe it is what's causing, sending all these meteors and sending all these, the meteors, of course, bring with them all these asteroids and debris from the heavens, basically from going through the asteroid belt and so forth and so on. Could this be what is happening? And if it is, we're in for a heap of trouble. I think we are going to be in for a heap of trouble, and I think this is what these people are concerned about. I think this is what all this FEMA Region 3 is all about, and the Puerto Rico thing is all about, and all over the world the underground bunkers are all about. I think they know this thing is about to cause some really serious damage. And also bring in these horrific warriors that are going to do a lot of damage on the earth as well. So, is this image I sent to you? Is it? I don't know. I just I'm not qualified for this stand. Would be the man to answer this.
I seem to remember hearing. I don't read Chinese, so I can't say. But hearing that. There was a Chinese account of the waters standing up, and I also recall at the same time as the time that the Red Sea parted. I also recall hearing an ancient Indian legend or something that said that the waters stood up, not just parted, but stood straight up. And I do remember hearing something from the Colburn about to this effect. So, Stan, I don't know if you know what image that I'm referring to, but it is that image that that can only be seen infrared. And I'm sorry, Augusta, what program did you say you found that under? What was the program that you found it under?
Well, I just used the Google Sky. And I went to, because I knew it was in the vicinity of Regulus, and so I started looking in Regulus, and you have to zoom in just enough, because if you zoom out, the engineers, the scientists that designed this Google software, they made it so you cannot see it. So you have
out.
To, and it's covered with all kinds of, it's blacked out, and so you have to get in really close, and once you do, there it is. I mean, it's as big as you can see it, and so this is how I found it. The other thing I just want to say real quick is, I want to send a link of this to all three of you, is about the Dogon people. Okay, the Dogon were an ancient tribe that it's called Dogon, Dogon, and they speak of a dark star, invisible to the human eye, and they have this ritual that they take a bullhorn and they start swinging it around and around and around, and whenever they do this, it makes a very strange sound. Which it's something I have heard already. It's very strange, and so I'm going to send this to you guys. While I'm going to put my my telephone on mute. I'm going to listen to the answers.
Okay. Stan, so what are your thoughts on that? Have you seen that infrared image, and what do you think it is?
I can't remember if I have, actually. I'll have to look and see what Augusta sends. I get a number of images, and certainly in the region of the sky that I think he's talking about, I did research that, and Google Earth does have it blacked out with a little black square. So I went to a program called Stellarium that's not Google. It's Stellarium. It's open source code, and I did find that there's a star, at least there, close to that location, and I can see inside the area that Google has blacked out. The infrared side, of course, is not there, but the normal visible light spectrum of stars does allow you to see that there's a star very close to that position in space, somewhere near Regulus. So until I see that photo and do some more research on it, I can't really comment intelligently. Is Augusto seeing that around now, do you think?
Augusto, I know you're on mute, but if you can do me a favor and send it back, send the image back to him, and we can, you know, whatever he maybe you can email all of us with your thoughts
okay.
on it when you see it. But and then I'll post.
Okay, I'm
going to
send it right now. I already sent it, but I'm going to send it right now, so you should have it in 30 seconds.
Okay, and then Stan, you know, we're getting up here on the end of the show, and I know you're going to take some time to analyze that. So. You know, if you just email your thoughts to all of us, and I'll post on the website, and I'll post on your website as well. Larry, you know, I'm wondering, we have these historical accounts from all over the world, really. I mean, we know that these things happened in Egypt, and we know, you know, what the Israelites' accounts were. What other things have you heard with regard to the passing of this body, you know, however long ago it came by? Have you heard any other things that might have happened at that time?
Well, there's a lot of Choctaw, Cherokee. You can go into the different tribes. They have different, what they call them, legends. Of events, including, as Augusto said, there's a lot of Choctaw legends in dealing with giants. I mean, seriously. And I was going to say, too, you might see if Stan would want to make a comment on that same question you just asked me, because he spent time with the Hopi Indians, and also I think was shown or given some information from the Hopis preparing for this time frame. You might want to just get a moment on.
Stan, I do want to ask you that question. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to butt in there, guys. I do you want me to talk about that or what?
Yeah, please. You're the expert here. Let's hear it.
Well, I don't know about the expert, but I did go down with Holly and visit with the Hopi a couple times, and two or three times, I guess. Basically, they talked more about things that were going to happen on the Earth preceding, you know, great catastrophic happenings here in the United States. The mention of the blue star was, you know, everybody's seen that. We didn't discuss that when I was with them in particular, because there were other issues we were addressing. I don't know that I've seen a number of things about that star and the color of it and when it would appear and what it would mean in the Hopi traditions that have been written down. There's still a lot of stuff that they don't share with the non-Hopi, you know, with the non-indigenous people like us. They keep it secret, and you have to have what's called your second name in the tribe, which means you've been initiated in the way they choose to let you be privy to prophetic secrets, and you are not to share those outside the circle of the tribe. So therefore, since I don't have a second name, I can't get any more out of what they've said than what I've told you before. Sorry.
Well, nonetheless, I mean, that I've heard you talk about your visit to the Hopi. That whole experience is something, and you know, maybe we can get into that in another show or something. But I think your point is well taken. They have talked, both Larry, yours, and the Hopi, have talked about something happening. It's like Augusto. It's like the flood. There's virtually every civilization across the earth, every society across the earth has a flood story. So yes, it is in the Bible. However, you talk about ancient civilizations, and they have a flood story. So it's really hard to ignore those facts. And I think we're coming upon a time when we are about to see a repeat of history, but unlike anything we've ever seen before, unlike anything the Earth has ever experienced before, because I firmly believe that it is the end of the age. Now,
well,
speaking of...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, speaking of the multiple cultures having the flood legend, some of, like the Hopi, American Indian legends of these things, they do talk about the flood in similar manners, but not always the same, how they were preserved by a Spider Woman by being hidden down in a cave underneath the Grand Canyon, and they stayed down there until the flood passed, and Spider Woman was representative of, I guess, a female representative of some race, or the angels, or whatever. I have struggled with this because it's not Noah's tale, and according to Noah's tale, over in the Middle Eastern Turkey area and in China, there were 8 souls alone on that that boat, and that was it. And everything else died. But if you believe the Hopi and some of the other Native American legends and some of the Polynesian legends, they survived this great flood. And so I retranslated the section in the Bible there in the flood details in Genesis, and I found out that the word that's used for the land there, where the flood was, which some translators sometimes translate as world or the country of or the land around you, and it can be translated to mean the immediate land of that area, like in where the Noah's flood was. Eretz is the word we're talking about, E-R-E-T-Z. So it's possible that there were other survivors of it, and they had their own versions of it. But basically, the pure in genetic structure that weren't crossbreeds between us and the fallen Nephilim is probably who survived and who were pure, no matter where they were on the earth. And that's certainly going to make a lot of people look at me askance, I know, but I'm trying to be open-minded and not be blinded by what the King James Version says or the Septuagint either, because they're written and translated by humans just like me. So,
Well, that's why I introduced you as the man with the big brain, because you have some thoughts. Guys, we have about 4 minutes left on the show, and so it's about time to wrap up. Stan, while I have you, what are your thoughts in about a minute time? What are your thoughts as far as what we need to do to prepare for what's about to happen? What would you say to people? If this were your last time you could tell them to prepare, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say the first thing, the most important thing, is to be sure that that you get your life after this one in order, that you realize that we can live after this, and we can live in a very nice place and in an indestructible, body. And if you want to be that way, that it's most important that you make your peace with Jesus, our Messiah, Yeshua ben Elohim. And that is a simple thing that can be done without a church or a priest or a rabbi. That's the most important thing. You get yourself online with God by talking to him in private and say, look, through your son, our doorway to you, I want to be on his side, and I believe in him. And don't forget me, and I'm from now on in your service, enter into me and, guide my life. That's the important thing. After that, it's to endure until he comes for his church, the bride, because you'll be a member of it then. And that is, in the material sense, to have emergency supplies and to arm yourself with the knowledge of the good book as best you can in a short time. Those are the two things, physical and spiritual preparation. That is essential. Spiritual first, because you're going to die sometime, maybe sooner than you think. And the second one is to do physical preparation, because hard times are coming upon the earth. And Holly's book, The Dare to Prepare, covers that from A to Z, as far as physical preparation. And my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, is one of many that tells you how to spiritually prepare as well.
Thank you, Stan. And Larry, very quickly, what would you say about what people need to know in these days coming?
Well, in the word that Stan just gave out, I can't add anything to that. I would just have to say amen. I mean, he put it very clearly and bluntly and face forward, and that was a good word. That's all I've got to say.
I agree. Augusta, we have about 2 minutes here. What would you say to the audience, knowing those things that are about to befall the earth? What would you tell them right now?
Well, what already has been said, it has been very good, what Stan shared and Larry, but I would just add, if you don't know the Lord, make sure you get to know him pronto. Number two, trim your wicks. Get your lamp ready. Get plenty of oil, because the night is coming, and you're going to need his light. Make it through this. God bless you. I enjoy doing the show with you old guys. Love you in Christ Yeshua.
Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Hello, my friend.